Hello and welcome to Islanders Anxiety, the podcast from Lighthouse Hockey. My name is Dan Saracini. Joining me tonight via Skype is my friend Michael Leboff. And Mike, you remember last week when we said we were afraid of these two games on the West Coast? Well, it looks like we were kind of wrong.
Yeah, we definitely were wrong. And shout out to our listeners and Kurt Schilling, who I'm sure is tuning in after yesterday. Yes. That was about the strangest thing I've seen ever. So
Kurt Schilling looking to Andrew Gross to for tips on who was going to be in the lineup. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think a lot of people would go in the same way I was. I was like, all right, so maybe he's playing DFS or or like betting the game. Yeah. And then Kevin Schultz on Twitter is like, I'm concerned that it's not either of those things, which.
Right.
If Kurt Schilling's on the Islanders bandwagon, it's getting a little too robust. We might have to start. We might have to start checking IDs because, he's a real freak.
Yeah, that's a video game mogul, Kurt Schilling, to you. Although not in the eyes of the state of Rhode Island. I'm going to talk about it. But actually, you know what? I was going to get to this later, but now you brought up baseball players, and I don't want to forget. But if anybody out there hasn't read the Athletic article about Mike Piazza. And his wife buying the Italian soccer team and bankrupting it within 2 years, a 100-year-old soccer team and bankrupting it within 2 years, please make sure you do that. If you need to get the week-long or whatever free trial to read it, you got to read it because it is unbelievable. It is amazing. And not in a good way for the Piazzas, I got to say. They come off pretty terribly in that story, but they ran it. So I guess they must be cool with it. But boy, what I started reading at my lunch break and I'm like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. Just couldn't stop for the next, like, I don't know, 20 minutes or so. So it was crazy. Definitely check it out. But we got a lot of Islander stuff to talk about that doesn't involve Kurt Schilling, thankfully. We were worried about this trip out to the West Coast. I said that, you know, beating the Red Wings at home on last Saturday was important because this is going to be a tough stretch for them going through Colorado, Arizona the next day, and then Vegas and then Dallas all within a week or so. And so far, so good. They not only beat the Red Wings at home, but then they won in Colorado and won in Glendale last night. I know you're a fan of staying up late. This must have been fun for you to watch some, I guess, mountain time hockey, not West Coast hockey. But
yeah, I know this is a very unpopular opinion, but I wish every Islander game was started at 9 o'clock. It's just a great way to go to bed,
right?
Watching, you know, especially when they win comprehensively like they have the past 2 days. You just feel very good. You know, your head hits the pillow. Mm. You're thinking about Val Filppula not making any mistakes again. Like, it's just really nice.
I'm thinking about Lucas Beason not being noticed on the ice at all. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. So let's start with last Saturday at Nassau Coliseum, a rematch against the Red Wings. The final score was 4-3 Islanders in a shootout. But that is not nearly what the game was. The Islanders outshot Detroit 48-21. 21-4 in the third period. I haven't seen a dominating game like this from the Islanders ever. It was almost comical. The Red Wings, no offense to them, but they were like an AHL team out there. They could not keep the puck for more than a minute. I've seen plenty of other games the other way where the Islanders can't keep the puck for 1 minute, but this was, I haven't seen one in a long time where the Islanders were that dominant. They were just awesome. I mean, they came out flying and they had the Red Wings, who had played the night before at home, dead to rights the entire game. Thomas Greiss let in a couple of goals that, frankly, he would like to have back. They praised him afterwards for keeping them in it, but I don't know. I thought he looked pretty terrible all game long. He was kind of sliding all over the place, and at one point they gave up a goal to tie it to Thomas Vanek, and Greiss had slid out to the parking lot. I guess that I know that there are defensemen there to pick up a guy like Vanek sliding behind him, but, dude, don't slide that far out. I don't know what to tell you. But this we could probably convincingly call the Matt Barzal game because he scored on the power play. They had 6 power plays in a row in the second period. Matt Barzal scored, which is their first power play goal in like a month and a half. He had an assist too on Anthony Beauvillier's goal. And then he scored the only goal in the shootout to win it. So that was pretty wild. Were you there? Was that another one that you attended?
I took that one off. I watched a little bit with my old man and then caught a little on the radio driving back to my apartment and then watched the end. And it was just, yeah, like you said, dominant. It was this is going to sound weird. It's not true, but it was one of those. It was almost one of those games. Mm-hmm. And the Islanders never have one of those games where it's, you know, one of those where it's not your night. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is it's kind of refreshing. Like, like, oh, man, I can't wait to be really mad that the Islanders didn't win, you know, after dominating. You know, it felt good about that performance no matter what. But, yeah, then it was also really a strange – the Islanders scored some strange goals. The strangest one was I've never seen before where Dylan Larkin pointed because he thought it hit the netting. They never showed a view where it did or didn't look like it did, I don't think. And I kind of chalked that goal up to the Coliseum, whether or not that's true. I'm like, who knows? Yeah, like a weird bounce. And I've never seen the refs not blow a whistle when all you need to do to get a whistle as a player is point up. Like that, oh, it hit the netting. And I've never seen a ref not blow play dead, no matter if it hit the netting or not. And he skated out, and the Islanders ended up scoring on that play. I think that was the Cizikas goal. Casey Cizikas has never not scored at Nassau Coliseum, I guess.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just say, like, the Islanders dominated that game. They deserved 2 points. They didn't deserve for it to go to a shootout, but there was still a little bit of luck involved, which I thought was funny. I think, and I know people say, like, you know, Dylan Larkin should play to the whistle. I mean, but if you're, like I said, I've never seen refs not blow the whistle when someone points up to the netting. So, that was a goal for the Coliseum.
Yeah, I saw some Red Wings complaining about the amount of penalties called on them and for the Islanders. And, you know, if you think that the refs have any kind of bias towards the New York Islanders, I hate to break it to you, but they don't. I can promise you that. But also the Red Wings are just kind of a step behind. There was lots of hooking and holding. And I didn't think any one of those penalties wasn't legit. I mean, that looks like the kind of game that probably should be called more often, to be honest with you, because there's like almost hooking and holding on every single play. It just gets called sometimes and then it doesn't. But the result was right, if not, you know, almost kind of slipped away from them. But they kept on going and it was really a cool thing to see. They go into 2 nights later, they're in Colorado, which is the home of one of the hottest teams in the league and arguably the best line in the entire league. Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, Gabriel Landeskog. And this was the exact game that we were talking about. Like, oh, my God, how are the Islanders even going to slow these guys down? Well, not only did they slow them down, but, man, I'll tell you, they played a hell of a game. I was very impressed. They ended up winning 4-1. You already called this the Boychuk game on Twitter, and I think you're 100% right. This was Johnny Boychuk also scored a power play goal from the Ovi spot, so to speak. He was laying out and blocking shots, and he had a great game. They held that high-scoring line to just one power play goal. Nathan MacKinnon was very quiet. I didn't think he did much at all in that game. And Rantanen was kind of everywhere, but he didn't end up scoring. And they held the Avalanche to only 8 shots on goal in the third, which I thought was amazing. And they lost Thomas Hickey, who we'll talk about again in a minute, to an injury. And then Brock Nelson, too, in the third period. But Nelson came back for the next game. I was incredibly impressed by that win. I thought that was one of the better games they played in a long, long time. And you can see, you know, at the risk of sounding like a cliche, you could see the buy-in to the coach Barry Trotz system now. Like that was a game in which there weren't a whole lot of like hitches in the system. Like they kind of pulled it off the way I think they were supposed to, and it was really cool. It was fun to see. I got to be honest, I was not expecting that, but I'm glad I watched it.
Yeah, it's that was the Boychuk game. I was being serious. Like you felt his presence every time you were on the ice. And a player of his skill set, that is extremely rare, I would say. Yeah. Like usually it's, like you said, it's like he's blanketing Ovechkin or something. Like, yeah, he had a great game doing that. But he was everywhere doing everything. Every time he was on the ice, he's made something happen on either end. That was awesome. Johnny Boychuk has been really good this year, I think, especially the past, like, 2 months. And the other part of that game came down to, yeah, game planning. The Avalanche are a... it's not fair to call them a one-trick pony. There's some decent other parts. They have good goaltending. But Jack Capuano and Doug Weight, like, if you threw that line at the Islanders with them behind the bench, like, they probably have their way with the Islanders, whereas Barry Trotz had a game plan, and it worked. And it's, X's and O's matter. You know, it's one thing to be a guy who can motivate and have players like you and stuff, but Barry Trotz's game plan for that game, I think, was perfect. If you are shutting that line down, sure, it's the players doing the job, but it's the coaches preparing them and saying, look, if these guys don't beat us, the odds are in our favor. Like, we should beat this team if we shut down that first line. So let's make a plan to stop them. And it worked. it was awesome. Boychuk and Trotz deserved a big hug after that game from all of us. And it was like the perfect game for Boychuk too, in that sense, because like he's not quick. He's his skill set is very, I don't want to say diminished, but it's just very lumbering. I don't know. It's the best way to put it.
It's old school. Let's call him old school.
Yeah, old school. Yeah, let's call it old school. Right. That was a old school kind of victory where oh, sure. The Islanders just had a game plan and didn't do anything stupid, and it worked.
Yeah. What you mentioned just now about sort of the previous coaches not maybe playing to the competition and maybe not having the right game plan in place reminded me of this quote from after that Colorado game. This was sort of Andrew Gross's preview of the next game, the Coyotes game, which we'll talk about in a second. But Trotz basically said, we're managing the game a little bit better. We're not just playing the same way no matter what the score is. You don't want to be a high event team when you've got the lead. You want to make sure the events are happening in a predictable order for you. And, you know, that's a little bit different than, you know, game planning for these, you know, this big line or something like that. But what he's talking about is something that we've never really seen before. Like, you know, the idea of managing the game and working to have the outcomes work in your favor. And that's what we talk about structure and kind of, you know, the way the Islanders play in such a way that they kind of funnel the puck carrier in one direction to kind of get, you know, stifled and then have the puck taken from him. And then they go back the other way. And that's kind of the way they play nowadays. And that game, again, was the perfect example. You know, Dom called it kind of boring in a Trotzian way, but I if they're going to win games like that, I'll take it. Like, if that's boring to me, I thought it was totally awesome the way they kind of controlled the game from top to bottom. And, you know, the Avalanche writers and stuff weren't particularly happy with it, but their coach was like, hey, they played a good game, and that's the way it was. So it was pretty cool to see. And then the next night, they played in Phoenix in Glendale, against a Coyotes team that is slightly less talent-laden than the Avalanche. They don't even have one big line. They got a bunch of guys you might have heard of, probably a bunch of guys who used to play for the Blackhawks. And you thought, oh, boy, it's the road. They're on the road. It's back-to-back. But, boy, they put on another impressive performance. They won that game 3-1. The first period was sort of even. They gave up a bad goal. Robin Leonard gave up a bad goal pretty early. But Anthony Beauvillier tied it before the end of the first season. But the Islanders were dominant in the second period. They were absolutely dominant. And the Coyotes barely touched the puck. And who scores the goal to put the Islanders up? One, Joshua Hosang, who had been called up from Bridgeport, didn't play the game in either the Nassau Coliseum game, played against the Avalanche, and he looked good, and he played against the Coyotes, and boy, he might have been kind of like a player of the game type. He played smart. He scored this impossible angle goal. He had a great celebration. If you go to our friend Kevin Schultz's Twitter account, and you'll see a great picture of him with guys from Islanders jerseys of all eras in front of him too. Again, in a road game. But Hosang was great, and he's been great the last two games. He's been smart. He's not taken shifts that are too long. He's keeping the puck. I noticed at one point last night against the Coyotes, he was, you know, he worked hard to just keep the puck in the zone, and then at one point just sort of dumped it down towards the goal line and made it and got off for a change and let the other next guy take over. And I just don't know if that's the kind of thing that he would have done last year. That's the kind of smart play that the coaches want him to do. And it doesn't mean that he can't be Josh Hosang. It just means he's got to be a little bit smarter with the puck. Trotz said that he wanted him to work on his board play, and he's gotten better at it. And I'll tell you, he was great. He really was very noticeable, had a great game all night. They were a little bit sloppy in the third, but they had a 3-1 lead at that point. And I mean, again, it was a back-to-back, so you kind of chalk it up to maybe a little bit of travel weariness, but they kept the Coyotes off the score sheet, and that's what matters. And right now they're on a 3-game winning streak and have won two of the four games on this road trip. And I mean, that's awesome. I mean, and to have Josh Hosang contributing and playing is even more awesome. So there you go. I mean, it's everything's firing on all cylinders right now when you really think about it.
Yeah. My stomach was in my mouth a little bit when he did something I've never seen before in the Avalanche game, where he took two like stick and holding infractions. how often do you, like, you'll hear, like, during a game, you'll see a play and you're like, wow, that guy actually could get called twice for a penalty, but it never happens. Like, you get one penalty and that's it. I've never seen that before, and I don't think either penalty was really
the second one was really bullshit. I didn't even. I still haven't even seen the first one, to be honest with you. But the second one, yeah, I was like,
I don't know what. I was like, is this ref trying to get him scratched in the next game? Is that all it is? Like, is this like a like he knows like Josh Hosang's reputation and wants doesn't want this? I'm not gonna say go conspiracy theorist on it, but like what I've never ever seen that before.
I think Arthur Staples said that wouldn't have happened to literally anybody else in the league. Seriously.
Yeah, I don't disagree with him. I'm Tom Wilson can go do whatever the hell he wants, and Josh, and he's been, doing it for years, doing some horrible stuff for years on the ice, and Josh Hosang does whatever. But I was worried. Hopefully, I think Barry Trotz obviously and his coaching staff would see afterwards and be like, wow, that was, definitely not fair, not right that got called. So I trust them to do stuff like that. That shift you're talking about where he kind of ragged the puck through the neutral zone and dumped and change. I was being a little tongue in cheek. I was like, damn, that was electric dump and change from Hosang. But after he scored, I texted my brother. I was like, they're going to talk about that dump and change more than they will about his goal. And that's kind of what happened. They're like, that one play was like brought up like six times by Brendan and Butchie. I feel like it was brought up more than the goal. And then, the goal was just great. It's that it was, being in the right place at the right time and still having the skill set and the talent. And like the nose for goal to be able to pull that off is insane. And you just saw like the celebration was awesome. Every Islander fan was doing it with him. Welcome to the party, Josh. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah, no, it was really cool to see. And again, he's been really good and he's done exactly what the coaches wanted him to do. He wasn't overstaying his shifts. He was being smart with the puck. And, I know that we've gotten on Filppula and Komarov for not being the best players, although Filppula at the point is kind of funny that he's, produced as much as he has. But I think, that line almost kind of works in spite of itself. Like, those guys are veteran guys that are going to make sure that I think Josh does that. But I think at this point, he gets it. And I think in talking to Trotz, he gets it. And I think Trotz's structure and the philosophies have filtered down to Brent Thompson, and that team is also flying on all cylinders right now. And I think they get it. And I think the communication, I'm saying this from 50 miles away in my home, but I think the communication is better and they know what they want to do. And Trotz has said he's been effusive for Hosang this whole time. And he went from saying like, well, I don't feel any pressure to play the guy. He's here as an injury replacement, and if he plays, he plays. To being like, if he plays more like that, he's going to have a very long career, and we're not going to be able to send him back because he's going to stay right here because we're going to need him. That's as high praise as you can get. Like, basically saying, you keep playing like that, we can't take you out of the lineup. That's what you want the coach to say, and so it's happening. The gif of the old man, it's all happening. That kind of thing. but there's another element to this now, and as I mentioned before, Thomas Hickey got hurt. He took an awkward spill into the boards in Denver. They're calling it an upper body injury. Could be a concussion. I don't know. He looked kind of dazed when he got up. And he was placed on injured reserve today. And look who's here. Devon Toews, finally unleashed from Bridgeport, is going to join the team in Las Vegas. He's probably not going to play against the Golden Knights. Let's just say it right up front. It's a long way from Bridgeport to Vegas. He's going to get off the plane. They're going to have the game that night. I highly doubt he's going to play before, talking to the guys and the coaches and everything. And also Lucas.
Plus, it's the Lucas Pisa revenge game.
So look for two goals from Lucas Pisa, who, again, I want to mention before, played totally fine in the game in Phoenix. Game in Glendale. I didn't notice him once, which is probably the best thing you could probably say about him. I thought he was totally fine. But the Islanders have a game on Sunday in Dallas. And if Toews is going to get into a game, I would probably think that would be the one. It really sucks that Hickey is hurt, because I think that he's a guy that we love Thomas Hickey, and he's a guy who doesn't maybe get the appreciation that he should. And hopefully he'll be okay, but you can't help but be excited for the chance to see what Toews can do. This guy's an AHL All-Star. He's piled up more points in the AHL than you could possibly count. And Arthur Staples said he should have been with this team the entire season so far. I'm excited, again, at the expense, sadly, of Thomas Hickey. I'm excited to see what can happen here. And, maybe they find another guy who just fits into the lineup and contributes exactly what they need, and they just keep things rolling.
Yeah, I'm excited. He's been ready. And this is also kind of like Jose saying, Barry Trotz and Lou Lamoriello, kind of, they've been through these kind of things before. So like with Jose saying, there was basically the only thing that like could have hurt the Islanders with Jose saying being down in the minors for as long as he was that the Islanders results weren't there, and they were getting results without him. So there was really no harm, no foul. And he will benefit from that time. You know, it's as old school as it sounds, like he got, you know, lessons drilled into him. And we never, there was obviously a completely different story with Taves. He just was a numbers crunch, but the same thing, like he's, I'm sure Lou and Barry were like, you know, what's the worst that could happen with Devon Taves being down in the minors for, you know, two more months, learning this system, learning how to play, you know, the style of hockey that Trotz implemented. The Islanders have succeeded without him, and he's only going to make them better. And he's going to know exactly what he's supposed to do after having, you know, 30 games in the minors playing the style of hockey. So that's what I'm most excited about. I think Trotz and Islander fans, everyone is going to be super confident in this kid to play any role. I think he'll play a lot too. It seems like he seems like that kind of player. And I think it only makes things better. It gives the Islanders one of those cliche, like, good problems to have now with if he succeeds, you know, and Hickey comes back. So
sure. Yeah, no, definitely. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. And this is the kind of thing that, you know, a veteran team and a team that's run with guys who, like you said, have been around the block before will do. And you know, and that's another thing too. And I don't want to get too crazy, because it has just been two games, and, you know, Josh is a young guy, and I'm sure he'll have a hiccup or a stumble at some point. But this is the kind of thing that's always got me about, like, good teams. Like, you know, we always talk about how, you know, when the Red Wings are in their heyday, or even the Lightning, that the Lightning are almost an extreme case, because they call up a guy from Syracuse every week and he just turns into a goddamn all-star. Like, it's just crazy. Like, it's, I don't understand how, where they get these guys from. Every guy they call up from Syracuse is the most electric, unbelievable 5'8" player in the entire league. It's crazy. They have a farm of these guys. But, you know, but seriously, like, that's the thing. Like, or the Penguins calling up guys from Wilkes-Barre that immediately become, you know, Conn Smythe Trophy candidates, because they fit the system and they give the team what they want, and it makes them difficult to take them out of the lineup because they keep on winning. And you know, again, I don't want to overstate things. It's been two games for Hosang. It's been zero games for Taves. But that's the kind of thing you want to get into when the philosophy has permeated the entire organization, and everybody knows what needs to be done, and everybody's pulling in the same direction, and you can pull up these guys from Bridgeport, and it fits. We saw it once. I mean, we've talked about the Travis Hamonic, the legend of Travis Hamonic, when he came up from Bridgeport that year and just immediately became one of the team's top four defensemen, and he just never went back. You know, that's the kind of thing that can happen. But, you know, for a team like the Islanders, that happens once in a blue moon, and for other teams, it happens all the time.
Yeah, and I think the Lightning are actually, you know, they are the extreme, but it's a good example. Like, we, you know, Islander fans we've suffered a long time, and that's where we want to be. So, you know, it's going to be a part of being good is having this organizational depth and guys that you want to see that you're just going to have to be patient for, and you're just going to have to quote unquote trust the process. And I think it'll pay off in the long run, big time.
Another goal from Michael Dal Colle tonight, by the way. At least one more. I don't know if he's got another one after that.
Yeah, another player, sure. Would I rather see Leo Komarov not play and Michael Dal Colle play in his place? Of course I would, and I think everybody would. But it's just, at this point, like, I'm putting all my eggs in Barry Trotz's basket and saying, like, you know, when at that time comes that, like, when Dal Colle is good and ready to play that kind of hockey and be depended on, you know, good for us. And it's another thing. And I also think the Dal Colle thing is a little interesting. I think the shine on him was gone, and it's back. And he is definitely going to be an interesting piece if the Islanders are still hovering in a playoff spot at the deadline. And it's almost like, you know, do we want to call him up and maybe he, like, doesn't put up numbers in the NHL and he loses a little bit of the luster he's got back as a prospect? It's definitely thinking too far ahead. But, you know, if he's just scoring bushels of goals in the NHL at a team like the Canucks, or someone comes knocking and says, like, we have room for this guy, and it makes sense. Like, you know, that's a position of power for the Islanders to be in come trade deadline time.
Yeah, I mean, it is far away, but I think it would depend on who's coming the other way. I don't think it would be for like a UFA or somebody like that. But if it's somebody with term and who fits the team, you know.
Yeah, he's just a good piece. He's at the worst, he might still find a way to contribute, but right now, like, he's a good piece to have in the organization. He's a fifth overall pick, and he's now starting to kind of go along that track. Sure. So.
And like you said, I mean, compared to where he was this time last year, which was basically nowhere, that's quite a turnaround to make himself into a piece like that. So it's pretty good. So just a quick look at the standings right now. The Penguins and Capitals are playing right now, and the Penguins are 2 points behind the Islanders in the division, and the Caps are 5 points ahead in first place. So right now it's Caps with 43 points, Columbus with 39, the Islanders with 38, and then the Penguins with 36, and then the Rangers with 35. So, if the season ended today, the Islanders would be facing the Columbus Blue Jackets in the playoffs, and that's something I don't know if anybody expected at this point. So tonight, go Caps. The Islanders can use a free day like there where the Penguins aren't breathing down their neck, but that's pretty remarkable. And as of right now, too, also remarkable, perhaps even more remarkable than their position in the standings, is the fact that they've given up the second least amount of goals in the Eastern Conference. They've given up 93 goals, and the Bruins have given up 88, and that's it. Everybody else is over the 100. The Leafs have given up 95 and the Lightning 99. But that's an amazing turnaround. They had given up 20 more goals at this point, I think Arthur Staple had last year than this year. And 20 goals means a lot.
And the Islanders weren't really bad yet at this point last year either. Yeah. Like the wheels hadn't come off.
No, the injuries had started to happen, and the whole thing would finally fall apart really in January. But yeah, the record was almost the same, but the goals against was a completely different story. And we all knew it was going to catch up to them, and it did in a big way. And this year, it's not so much. And, I mean, all that credit goes to Trotz and Lane Lambert and Mitch Korn and Piero Greco and these guys, and Lou Lamoriello, for that matter, and these guys that have just come in and been like, no, we're not doing that anymore. And this is how we're going to play now. And credit to the players, too, for buying in. Brock Nelson looks like a totally different person. I mean, he took that knee to the thigh. He left the game. He came back. And he played a heck of a game in Phoenix. Like, he had a goal from the slot, which was beautiful, you know, that kind of shot. And he looks like a totally different player under Barry Trotz. It's crazy.
He used to be the type of player that when even on his good shift, where a shift where he would score, he basically like popped up at the end. The puck ended up on his stick, and he's got a great shot, and he would score. Now I'm like gravitating towards him, like, wow, that, you know, another, he didn't do anything, he didn't score, he didn't get an assist or do anything memorable, but he just had a good shift. And like, I guess maybe in his first full year, he was kind of that type of player. Or was like he looked like he was about to become one. So this is by far his best season, probably. Yeah, as a pro,
he's never been sort of known for bringing a lot of energy, like whether it's on the ice or off the ice. And Brock seems like a pretty laid back guy. He's got like the sleepy eyes. He's just a big tall dude. He's like, you know, really laid back. And even like you said, even on his good shifts, you know, it wasn't that he was out there like, you know, creating havoc. He was usually sort of like Johnny on the spot. Like he was in the right place at the right time, or, you know, maybe on a 2-on-1 or something like that. But now he's out there and he's making stuff happen. Like he's out there with Eberle and Lee, and they're making stuff happen every time they're on the ice. And Eberle's kind of come around. He had a goal in Colorado, which was nice to see. And then obviously Lee is doing his thing as usual. And it's just, he's just found a way to play that works for him, works for the team. Of course, it happens when he's a UFA, so that's going to be another interesting wrinkle. But nobody's talking about that right now. Nobody's mentioning it. You know, I mean, the guy's got, 11 or 12 goals, and so does Lee, and so does Eberle. Or no, Eberle's got, I think, 8 goals. But, they're just doing their thing, and they're playing really well. And we'll leave that stuff for later and see, or maybe I guess the trade deadline will talk about it. But it's just, it's amazing, like, what it's come down to and how these guys have all bought in. And it took a little while. And, again, there's going to be hiccups and there's going to be bumps and there's going to be some freewheeling out there. But, you know, Matt Barzal said it took him a while to kind of come around to it. And now he's done that. He looks like Matt Barzal again. And good for him. Him and Beauvillier are up to their old tricks. And, you know, that's what the Islanders need. They're going to need those guys going forward. I mean, it's their top two lines. They're going to need them going ahead.
Yeah, it's funny. Last episode we talked about, We were worried, as Mike Francesa would say, and we because they had lost like 3 or 4 or something like that. And yes, they've been playing so well, I completely forgot about it.
They had blown that lead to Vegas. They had like a 2-goal lead to Vegas and blew it. Yeah.
And we were saying, you know, this is kind of a little bit, maybe the first gut check of the season where we'll see if Trotz is different from the past couple. Well, I mean, we knew he was different, but can he avoid, you know, the typical Islander snowball month-long drought? And they responded in the best possible way by winning every point that was they got the maximum amount of points since we've talked.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm not worried anymore.
No. Not that I want them to, but, you know, even if they were to drop the next two in Vegas and Dallas, you know, that's a 500 road trip. Like, that's pretty much what regular teams do. You know, they go on the road, they win half of their games, and that's pretty good. I mean, again, I would prefer that they win those games, but, you know, it's hard to complain about that. Yeah, the Vegas game is going to be interesting because, again, they did throw away that lead. They didn't play particularly well in that game, but is that the one where they played poorly but ended up getting staked to like a lead and then they just blew it?
They were down 1-0 quick and then went up 2-1 and lost, and then they got pretty well manhandled by the Stars at Barclays Center.
Right. Oh yeah, definitely. That was a stinker. That was one of the very few like real stinkers they had this year. And then actually one of those ones you were talking about before was they lost 6-2 to the Penguins that previous week, which is another stinker. These next two games are going to be pretty interesting. I think I read somewhere that Dallas might be getting John Klingberg back soon, which is obviously enormous for them. Ben Bishop is right now, he's picking up shutouts out left and right. So that's going to be a tough game. The Golden Knights have put Max Pacioretty on IR. So that's one less guy to have to worry about, but you know, they're really, really good at home. So these next two games are going to be tough. I mean, but we thought that the Colorado game was going to be tough too. And the Islanders played really well there, and you know, they had a day off here. So hopefully they can get in Vegas and win. And then they got 2 days off and then they play the Stars. And then they have 4 days off before a game against the Ottawa Senators at Barclays Center. I'm going to skip that game right now. The Senators, their focus right now is off the ice. Their arena plan has apparently been blown up. It's a whole thing. Read it. It's crazy. But the next night, on Saturday the 29th, after the Islanders play in Brooklyn on the 28th, then on the 29th, they have a game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. The reason we're talking about this now is because Mike and I are going to take next week off. So programming note, there won't be a show next week. We'll come back the week after. But this is an important game for obvious reasons that we should discuss in detail. The Leafs obviously are one of the better teams in the league. The Islanders are, you know, reformulating the entire franchise after a summer of uncertainty and change. And it's Saturday night. It's hockey night in Canada. It's in Toronto, you know, prime time, 7:00. That one's going to be something. It's going to be something. And I'll be honest with you, I'm probably not going to watch that game. I think I'm going to find something else to do, and I'll explain why. But I think we both have our soapboxes ready for this one. So I'm going to let you start because, there's a lot going on here.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to try to watch the Hockey Night in Canada stream too, because I want to hear it. It's so far in the past now. Like, I'm not saying like doesn't still. I'm still not pissed off. I'm so pissed off about it still. Like I talk about it at least once a day to people at work or whatever. But I talk about it. But the Islanders would be better with this player, but the grass is sort of greener right now. Like I love this team. I love the coach and whatever. I think Lou Lamoriello made some crazy maneuvers in the offseason that, you know, whatever. But I love everything about the Islanders right now, and I'm kind of confident in what they could do. And I want to hear the Hockey Night in Canada guys just gloss over the success they've had and continue to not pay attention to the actual results and just talk about John Tavares and his fucking Casper ads where he's like sleeping on a bed.
I've heard about these, and I'm glad I've missed them all, basically.
Oh my God. You should watch it, honestly. It makes me feel better. Watch it, because I'm like, this guy has nothing. You know, you can just tell, like, he doesn't get it. He does not get it one bit. And those commercials are just more proof that he doesn't get it. And it makes me happy. Like, you know, I'm like, all right, like, we're right about you. We were right about you. Like you, we were wrong. We were very wrong about you. And then we were right about you. And we still are right about you. You are not the person that anybody like thought you were, and not the type of guy that I want playing for the Islanders at this point. And yeah, he can go kick rocks. And I hope, you know, like, here's the disclaimer that like, we don't root for injuries, but I would love Matt Martin to lay a licking on him. I mean, Matt Martin was dogged by the Leafs and Leafs fans. Leo Komarov was too. Like, I would love one of those guys to pull like what Brendan Witt did to Evgeny Malkin that one game where he just like put the cleanest hit on him. I don't remember when it was. It was sometime in the mid aughts, but he I will never forget this hit. And Witt had a thing for Malkin, and he just stepped up on him in the neutral zone and you know, probably bruised him up a bit. And that's that. I would love to see, you know, someone really go out of their way to make sure that John Tavares feels, you know, gets crunched at least once, and just get into that crowd's head a little bit. And I think the Islanders actually do match up well against them, which we can talk about after you go on.
Well, I'm glad you said all that, because a lot of it ties into what I'm going to say. We do no planning, by the way, on this show, folks. So when you see things like this dovetail, it just shows you that Mike and I were meant to do this, because these things come up naturally and they just work out this way. I was thinking the exact same thing as you were, only in my mind, it was Scott Mayfield, who is a guy who Tavares obviously played with and he knows, but maybe not too well. And so like, of all the people to like lay a really clean shoulder to chest check on somebody and like knock them for a loop, I figured to me, it would be Scott Mayfield or it would be Cal Clutterbuck. One or the other, I think would probably do it. And I could see both of those things happening.
I could picture Mayfield doing it. Mayfield's a fucking rock star. Good for him, man. I like that guy.
Yeah, he is. And I could see him being almost like apologetic about it, but like doing it, like not even realizing who it was. But I think that to me, that's what the exact same thing that you just mentioned has also been going on in my head. And that was just, it was, to me, it was Mayfield. To you, it was Martin. I would like to see Matt Martin score a hat trick. There you go. The old Mick Vokoda hat trick. But well, I don't think either of those things are going to happen, but we'll see what happens. But
yeah, I mean, I just want to hear the crowd's reaction right to that hit. Like, you know, and, there are times when he was on the Islanders where after you would get hit, like he would kind of do that, look back to the ref,
yeah,
and he'd wipe his visor and slowly get back to the bench. That's what I want to see. I want to see that happen after that hit. I want to see him, you know, really feeling that, kind of slowly going back. And then I want to see one of the Leafs, you know, come, if it's Mayfield, like, you know, come try to fight him and stuff. And that's, you know, I would love to see that. And then I would love to see Darcy Tucker in the crowd and someone punch him in the face.
That would be pretty cool. That would be
just
pretty
cool. Pad to Darcy, yeah. and maybe Cairns will get him. Like maybe he's in the skybox or something.
Or he spills beer on himself. That'd be pretty cool too. It's funny though that you mentioned watching the Hockey Night in Canada feed, because that's exactly what I wouldn't do. Again, people out there are much stronger than I am. I applaud you. I can't do this. If you're going to that game, by the way, if you're an Islanders fan and you're going to that game, you know, in person, and you have tickets to it, then I'm not a religious man, but I hope that whatever God you pray to is by your side that evening. I really do. I hope you have a good time. I hope it's fun. I hope the Islanders win, but I could not do that. I can't even watch a game on TV. I got four other Harry Potter movies to watch with my wife and daughter before we finish the whole series. I'm kind of hoping like, hey, let's watch two of them tonight, so I don't have to even look at this thing until tomorrow morning. But it's funny because like in my mind, my twisted, very strange mind, I'm afraid that what's going to happen is, or what's been happening and what's going to happen for the rest of our lives, is a certain degree of gaslighting about this topic. If you've never heard what gaslighting is, it's basically convincing somebody that something that did happen didn't happen, or is happening isn't happening right now. And I feel like there's a lot of gaslighting going on with the whole John Tavares thing. You and I both know how the whole thing went down. Obviously, we talked a lot about it. Anybody listening to this podcast knows what went down. Anybody that reads Lighthouse Hockey knows what went down. Anybody that reads Arthur Staple knows what went down. And like from their perspective, from the Maple Leaf fan media perspective, this is a story about a guy who comes home to play in his hometown team for a team that has cup aspirations. And that's a wonderful story. From our perspective, the story is very, very different. This is a guy who told everybody who would listen for the better part of 2 years that he wanted to win with the Islanders. And that was his dream, was to stay at the Islanders and win with the Islanders. And then he went completely silent for a month and a half let the clock run out on his team while he signed a contract, and then just woke up one day and was another player's property, another team's property. And like,
yep,
that's what happened. And like, I don't want people to forget that. Like, you might forgive John Tavares. You may have already forgiven him and you might move on with your life, but like, you can't forget the way the whole thing went down. And I love when people are like, oh, you should, why don't you be mad at management for not putting a good team around him and, you know, giving him the incentive to walk away. And don't be mad at the player for walking away. Dude, I could be mad at both. It's very easy.
Yeah. We have a whole podcast because we're fucking mad at management.
I know, really. Like, I mean, what makes you think that we're not mad at management? I just don't understand. Like, of course we're mad at management, but I could also be mad at him for, again, kind of going into radio silence and going into hiding and signing a contract, or at least coming to an agreement a couple of days ahead of the clock running out and then just leaving without telling the team that you're leaving. Like, and then don't even get me started on the whole, like, don't trade me thing, whether he said it or one of his representatives said it, or, you know, somebody made it clear that John didn't want to be traded. You know, that team wasn't going anywhere that year. Like, what could they have gotten for him? And I mean, we're talking about that now. So, the thing about the Leafs is that they're co-owned by this huge media conglomerate. They've got this entire network, two entire networks that are focused upon everything they do. They also have the biggest fan base in the country, and they also have this sort of army, this ever-expanding army of citizen bloggers that like to think they're very progressive, but really are just like the gatekeepers of the NHL's Cool Kid Club. And the Islanders are never going to be part of that Cool Kid Club. We talked about that a while back. And they're not going to tell you that. They're not going to focus on, because they don't live with this team. They don't know, they don't live with the Islanders every single day of the year like you and I do, or like the people listening to this podcast do. We all know what happened. Please don't forget what happened. And you could move on, but like, that's the way it went down. And this isn't just like, you know, hey, I'm here, this is a great story. No, this is not a great story. this is a great story for one half and a shitty story for another half.
Yeah, and it's that's a perfect way to put it. It's please don't forget what happened. Because, and that's a part of the other reason, like, I'm sick too. I'm sick in my head. And that's the reason I want to watch the broadcast. Like, there are all those accounts that like will fact check politicians and stuff, and they'll say, oh, he said this, but really this happens. I just want to do that. I mean, you know, maybe I'll just take quotes from the encyclopedia that you painstakingly kept. Be like, when Elliot Friedman says, you know, Tavares wanted to come home, it was all about playing in front of his family, I'd be like, oh no, here's where he said that the Islanders meant everything to him, and all he cares about is us. Yeah. Like, he doesn't think about that kind of stuff. Like that right now is like music to my ears, hearing them say that stuff. And because if they want to believe that, go right the hell ahead, man. And then when the Islanders do end up winning the Stanley Cup, I'm not saying it's this year, it might be, they all start jumping on how resilient they are for getting through this whole thing. I'm like, just going to be the happiest. I'm going to be happier than Pickett. This is going to be – it's going to be the best. And I cannot wait. I can't wait for those guys to start talking about Tavares is being courageous for wanting to – for doing something that, you know, most athletes don't do, going home and taking on the pressure of breaking a curse for their hometown team. Like, the dude is a coward. The only thing he is a coward. He took the easy way out, and it might not seem like the easy way out to the 29 other teams, but it was the easy way out. He joined a team that is in great shape financially, that will be in the NHL forever, and he left a team that for most of my life and most of, you know, your better part of your life, we wake up and we don't know if the Islanders are going to be there in the morning. He was the savior and he walked out. And that is the truth of the matter. And from whatever side you're looking at it from, it's going to, like, if you're looking at it from the other side, you're not going to think that. But the guy is an absolute coward. And that's why I want the Islanders to make him pay in ways that I don't like. I've never hated an athlete more than I hate that guy right now. And he was my favorite person on the planet for so long.
Yeah. When Barry Trotz took this job, people asked him, not in this particular intonation, but you could tell that this was what they meant. Why on earth would you take this job? You know, this is the New York Islanders. And his answer was he wanted the challenge. Like, he had won the cup with the Washington Capitals. That was the challenge. He brought in to face that challenge, and he won it. And this is, you know, he didn't expect maybe to be out of that job, but this is the challenge, and he wants the challenge. And there's a podcast called the NHL Executive Suite. I didn't know it existed until today. It's hosted by Deb Placey, who we know very well, and she interviewed Lou Lamoriello today. You should check it out. It's pretty cool. It's very cool. Lou talks about his growing up in Providence and stuff, and basically he said the same thing. Like, he wants the challenge. He wants the challenge of building the Islanders back to where they were, or at least near to where they were. You know, he was sold on the vision of Scott Malkin and John Ledecky and their arena and all this, and they want that challenge. And yeah, I agree with you. Like, you know, it's, you know, yeah, there's a lot of pressure, obviously, going back and playing for the Leafs. Now you got to do these mattress commercials, and everybody's pulling you every which way. But yeah, I mean, the challenge of making the Islanders into a Stanley Cup contender, he never completed that. Like, you know, the challenge is still there. Yeah, he left, basically.
Yeah, he walked out. But when the Islanders win the Stanley Cup, he will have no bearing on it.
Yeah.
And that is something he's going to have. Like, sure, the Leafs winning the Stanley Cup would be gigantic, but that's not because John Tavares is there. That's because the Leafs have been so bad for so long that they've had guys like, they won the draft lottery. They got Austin Matthews. They got Mitch Marner. They got a great goalie. Like, it's not John Tavares. If the Islanders had won the Stanley Cup,
yeah,
with John Tavares, it would have been because they got John Tavares.
Yeah.
And so now he has to sleep at night knowing that, hey, I walked out on that. Like, I walked out on that opportunity to be the guy that saved that franchise. And now we have like six of them, and I love them all.
In one of those fawning pieces about Kyle Dubas and how they got, you know, he got Tavares to sign, they mentioned this video that he watched during that sort of, you know, free agency wooing period. And one of them was like, it showed like Tavares's number in the rafters of Air Canada Center. And after I read that, I wondered myself, did John Tavares really not think that the Islanders weren't going to retire his number? Like, did he seriously think that, well, I don't know if they're going to retire? Dude, I would have retired your number the minute you signed the contract. You would have been the only player in the league.
We joked about building him a statue before.
He would have been the only player in the league to have his number retired and still be wearing it at the same time. Like, that would have guaranteed you a retired number. So that whole aspect of that kind of didn't hold a lot of waters for me, because that didn't make any sense. Like, why would he not think that he was already going to be an Islanders legend with the team he's been with for 9 years? Like, that's just crazy.
Reading about that video made me sick to my stomach.
I don't
like a couple of the players have seen it. Mitch Marner said like he was brought to tears. Like, all right, Mitch, like, you're 19 years old. I don't think you have any idea what's going on, brother. And by the way, we're offer sheeting you in 3 months.
Yeah, it's you know, not that I learned this while doing the encyclopedia, but it certainly drove the concept home that nobody cares about this team but us. I mean, like, you and me, obviously, and again, everybody listening to this podcast, everybody that reads Lighthouse Hockey, everybody that downloads other podcasts and reads other blogs out there, Arthur Staple and Andrew Gross. And when I say cares, I don't mean that they necessarily care about the outcome. I don't think that they're necessarily rooting for the Islanders to win, because they're pros and they're probably not. We're certainly rooting for them, but you know, the guys that cover the team, I don't think are necessarily rooting for them. But I mean, like, that they care, like they know where they are in the standings. They know what the current trends are. They know the guys personally, so they can talk about their personalities. They have a pulse, you know, a finger on the pulse of the fan base. Certainly, you know, Staple and Gross are, you know, qualify for that. And they kind of know what's going on. And they don't just sort of like, you know, parachute in when the team comes to town and be like, ah, these guys, you know, their record is this, that, and the other thing. Ah, they kind of suck. Or, man, they're okay. Or maybe they're all right. Like, they know what's going on with the team. And nobody else does that but us. So I totally agree with what you're saying. Like, if you watch this game on Hockey Night in Canada, you're not going to hear any sort of, like, respect or, you know, hey, well, what a job Barry Trotz has done. Or what about these guys? Like, how about this guy with Anthony Beauvillier's got 11 goals? Or how about that? Like, you're not going to hear any of that stuff because these guys don't know. They don't care. They don't care about this team. They only care. They only see them as, you know, the next stop before the playoffs. That's all they want. That's all they care about. Or the next, you know, team that's stealing their revenue.
Easy column inches.
Right, pretty much. I mean, you know, Michael Trakos was writing shit about John Tavares signing with the Leafs, and he called Andrews Lee a sixth-round pick. The dude had, like, two 30-goal seasons at that point. Like, what's the matter with you? Like, who are these people? What is your problem? And so one thing, though, I want to get to, and then I'll let you have the last word because you're kind of in rare form. But the personality thing I was thinking about too. The picture with the bed sheets and the whole thing. The thing about that picture that I think makes me kind of irritated in a way is that in his 9 years as an Islander, John Tavares does not show a lot of personality. He's not, you know, what did we know about him really off the ice from his 9 years as the Islander? We knew that he played hockey a lot and was obsessed with it and worked out all the time. But that's sort of hockey stuff. We knew he had an uncle that was a lacrosse legend, and he had a fiance who is now his wife. That's all we knew. We didn't know anything else about this guy. And that was okay. Stan Fischler, our friend, called him very serious. That was his Stan's words exactly. Very serious. And Stan's terrible grandpa jokes just washed right off of Tavares, like bullets off of Superman. He could not be pinged by Stan's terrible jokes, which everybody laughs at. Come on, give me a break. And so the guy signs with the Leafs, and then in 2 seconds later, he posts this picture to his social media account, which he had used like literally half a dozen times in the preceding 8 years. And that one picture shows more personality and more insight into this guy's life than anything we had seen or heard at any point in the previous 9 years. And I'm like, really? Like, seriously? This is the time when you've decided to kind of let loose and show us what you're all about? I'm not surprised that he had Leafs bed sheets. Like, that makes sense. I'm surprised that he had that Star Wars Episode I Naboo fighter alarm clock, because to me, in the previous 9 years, I thought Tavares was the kind of guy who wouldn't know a lightsaber from his elbow. Like, he looks like the kind of guy who, you know, says it's Dark Vader, or thinks that Han Solo's first name is Hans, like he's from, you know, Amsterdam or something. Like, and this was a guy who played on a team with Kyle Okposo, who we knew was a Harry Potter nerd in the body of an NFL linebacker. Like, you know, Kyle loved Harry Potter. We all knew Kyle loved Harry Potter. It was awesome. That's great, you know. Or like, you know, Matt Martin's entire life is like an open Instagram page. Like, between him and Sydney, they got all this kind of stuff. He's got the Halloween costumes out. He's doing crazy stuff. He's Matt Martin. He's a personable guy. And all this time, we never knew any of these things about John Tavares' personality. And then 2 seconds after he signs with the Leafs, all of a sudden, everybody knows where he slept when he was a kid. Like, really? Seriously? That's the way you're going to play us? And that's why when he comes back here to play at the Coliseum, you're going to really hear what people think about this, and you're really going to hear how people's lives have been affected by this. It's going to be uncomfortable for him. Let me tell you, it's not going to be fun.
And it's like that alarm clock, within 2 seconds of him tweeting it, Bob McKenzie had some story about, backstory to Tavares is like that alarm clock. He set it because he didn't have any confidence his parents would wake him up in time at 5 a.m. for a Pee Wee hockey club. Like, damn, like, I would have liked to know that story when he was, you know, that's the kind of guy that we expected him. He was right. Like, and it's what you're saying is perfect. It's this guy never, he said he was selling Wolf tickets. He never ever showed that he embraced. Sure, he fulfilled his obligations. He showed up to, like, you know, charity events, whatever, the days at the school.
It wasn't like he was mean or impersonable or anything. No. Like, he was always very nice, but yeah.
He never really talked about putting roots down on Long Island, which is like the first freaking, like, Dean McAmmond was here for like 18 seconds. And I feel like I heard him talk about putting roots down on Long Island.
Dude, Miro Shatan is still here.
Miro Shatan is still fucking here. That's all you need to know. Miro Shatan is still fucking here. And John Tavares is up in fucking Toronto living the easy life. But yeah, he never ever embraced it. He never, like, I'm sure. What did we know him to do? Like, outside of hockey, he ate at Chipotle. There's like a picture. I remember him like eating a picture of him eating Chipotle on a plane. And I was like, oh, look at him. Like, this is so cool. Like, we're seeing we're getting under the visor of John Tavares. Like, no, that was really it. Yeah. Like, that's all it made. You know,
we knew that Michael Grabner won a lot of money from him from poker, which probably says more about Michael Grabner than it does about John Tavares. But like, that was the time. Like, we knew that these guys played Call of Duty together. Remember, like, Grabner and Strom and a bunch of guys were all playing Call of Duty. And it was like, that's awesome. Oh, we knew that Tavares lived with Colin McDonald. Like, that was it. Like, we didn't know what was going on in there. What'd they do with it? They played Jenga? Did they, you know, I don't know. Did they have a dog fighting ring? Like, I don't know. Like, what did they do? We don't know. And now, again, his personality immediately becomes.
No, yeah. No. And that just goes to show you how manufactured he is. Like, that is – you don't think they as soon as he signed with the Leafs and that picture came out, Pat Brisson and his, like, army of marketing, you know, whizzes weren't like, oh, we can make a ton of money. This is great. Like, I've already talked to Casper and I've talked to Sleepies. They're already in a bidding war. Like, we're going to make John into, like, the cool new guy in Toronto. Like, that is not John – that is not the
– No.
That's not the same John Tavares. No. It's not. It's they got the John Tavares who is now the like corporate, like weirdly manufactured robot. we had the robot. We didn't have like the rest of that. And and I, you know, like you're just seeing more and more of them. I can't. I'm excited now that I think about it.
And his
Let's just hope. Let's just hope it all, it goes our way.
Yeah. I know. Well, I mean, again, in a way that the score isn't really relevant. Like
if
Islanders win that game, like you said, they're not going to give them an ounce of credit. It's going to be the Leafs did this, that, and the other thing, and they'll be ready for the next game, whatever the next night. And if the Leafs win that game, it's like, well, we just go to show you, like, John Tavares made the right choice by, you know, winning this. Signing with a team to win this sort of meaningless game in December, like that's all it's going to be. And I could tell you already what the way it's going to be. But and the other thing too, and to get to your point about his personality, it's like he's going to say the same thing. The Leafs played in Jersey last night or two nights ago, as soon as the plane landed in Newark, Mark Herman was like attached to Tavares and getting quotes from him. You know, why would Newsday send a reporter to a Devils game? Well, because John Tavares was there. And guess what? The quotes were the exact same quotes he's always been. I grew up on Long Island. I have a lot of affection for the fan base and the team, and it's really something special, and I'll always love it. Like, that's, dude, that's not helping. Like, you're not really giving us, like, that. It's very cold, and it's very detached, and it's exactly the way he left. And that's kind of, unfortunately, the way that people are going to remember it. And like I said, when he comes back to play,
he keeps saying that he can't change change how people think of him, and I want to say you did.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how it works. It's too late. You already changed how people think of you, because again, he said that his return to the Coliseum is going to be fun. John, buddy, it's not going to be fun. I promise you, it will not be fun. No. A lot of people are going to make it sure that it's not fun for you. So there you go. I just want one other thing too. I just want to say I'm obviously very proud of the show that we do. We have a great time. I'm glad that people listen to us. Our numbers are very good. We always appreciate it. We love it. One of the things I'm most proud of though is the fact that outside of our July 1st show, where we obviously spent the entire time talking about it, and the first show of this year where we, you know, kind of picked up some loose ends. Hopefully we didn't repeat ourselves too much just now. We haven't really talked about this at all. Like, anytime Tavares has kind of come up, it's been in relation to something that happened, like a game or an incident that happened, you know, over the period of 9 years, which makes a lot of sense. But we haven't, like, spent a lot of time kind of talking about this and hashing it out and going over, because we really haven't had to, you know. Again, thanks to Barry Trotz, basically, and this team, they've made us sort of forget it day in and day out until now, when we got to talk about it, unfortunately. And we're going to have to talk about it again. A couple more times, because this is the first time the Islanders are going to play. But I'm serious. Like, I think we've done a pretty good job in not talking about this and not, like, kind of dragging him over and over again for something that, you know, again, is what's done is done. And we all need to move on. Yeah. But eventually we will. I promise.
I think Islander fans, a lot of Islander fans in general, too, have done that. Like, I don't think we want to go out of our own way to. I will certainly, if I hear someone that I know maybe at work or whatever, just like, you know, if I'm at a bar or something, say like, oh, you know, he went home or whatever, I will absolutely say, you know what, like, that's not what happened, and I'll have a civil conversation about it. But yeah, no, I don't think any of us are really going out of our way. Like, it's something, like I said, it's something to think about and talk about at least once a day. So maybe I'll be hypocritical, but it's not us. You know, I'm not going out there and trying to railroad the guy every day to like anyone who will listen. It's if it comes up, it comes up. Like, and we know, and that's all it is. Like, I've had conversations with people where I'm like, well, like, this is what he said, this is what he did. And people are like, yeah, no, it's kind of fucked up what he did, I guess. But like, I could kind of understand what he was doing. I said, yeah, no, I can understand what he was doing. He just did it
right
the completely wrong way. Yeah. That's it.
Like, that's pretty much it. Yeah, no, we know what he did. He just went about it in the completely wrong way. And there you go.
Yeah.
So, so that's that game. And then to finish out their little set against the Atlantic Division, the Islanders then play the Buffalo Sabres at 6 o'clock on New Year's Eve in Buffalo. The Sabres have kind of tailed off a little bit. They've leveled off, I guess you should say, from their torrid 10-game winning streak. But they're still pretty good, and that's going to be a tough one, too. Buffalo hasn't always been really kind to the Islanders, but, you know, again, just like the stretch we're talking about now, that's a tough stretch of games, and if the one against the Senators is basically playing the role of the game against the Red Wings that we talked about much earlier, they need to win that game. You're at home. The Senators stink, quite frankly. They have a couple of good – Matt Duchene is now off IR, so they'll have him back, but they're not a very good team, and you need to take that game in Brooklyn. Even no matter how many – no matter how few people are there, you need to win that game because the games against the Leafs and Sabres are going to be exponentially more difficult. So and then after that, we'll be back to talk about a couple of games. So, yeah, so it's been an interesting run, and they got a couple more tough games coming up, but they got some breaks in there. They're going to have an all-star break coming up and a bye week, I guess, coming up too. So hopefully they can use that to their advantage. And, yeah, you know, spread the love. Spread the points out, spread the love, and, you know, stay in the thick of it.
Spread the love.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is it's great. Yeah. I meant to bring this up earlier. There's a documentary on Netflix called Sunderland Till I Die. It's just about a soccer team in England that was relegated from the Premier League, and it's like a 24/7 kind of style docuseries about the team in their league in on their season in the second division called the Championship. And it's so it was from last season, and I won't spoil anything, but anyway, it's a city that basically all they have is the team, the soccer team, and like they all love it. And weirdly, and I will always bring things back to the Islanders, but it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Islanders in the sense that like all these people have almost a singular focus, and Islander fans are very similar. Like we care so much about the Islanders, so much. Most Islander fans will tell you like it's the Islanders and then everything else like in sports. And that's part of like what the Tavares thing was, is like, is you see that, and it's, and I think it's almost encouraging like to see that out of the fans, like how the outrage is because this team means so much to this area and to the Long Island that when something like that goes the way it did, like it's going to be like you just kick someone's dog in the face, and that's it.
And it's such a huge thing to you. Like we've said it before, like we've had to completely recalibrate how it is that we look at this team because of that signing. Like we have to, suddenly the guy who was the focus of the entire team for so long is gone. And we have to recalibrate ourselves while the team recalibrates itself. And so far, that's gone about as well as could possibly be expected. But we're still kind of in the process of doing that. And you're seeing it from guys that, like, you know, we're sitting here talking about how good Brock Nelson's been this season. Like, that's a weird thing because we had kind of thought of him as in one way, and now we're thinking of him as a different way. So, yeah, like, I agree with you 100%. Like, it's such a focused thing. The focus is so strong that people really need to figure themselves out after that's been upset. And that's why, you know, it's going to take a long time to get over this and, you know, figure it out. But again, we will do that whether we want to or not. Couple of league goings on. The first coach that John Tavares had in the NHL is back. Scott Gordon is now the coach of the Philadelphia Flyers, however impermanent or temporary that might be. Coach Joe Quenneville might be waiting in the wings, but for right now, the Flyers, Scott Gordon, the Flyers are being led by Scott Gordon. So it's overspeed in Philadelphia, and we'll see how long that lasts. it's been 8 years since he coached, that's a long time.
Overspeed. Was the go Gordon.
Yeah.
Overspeed.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I
love that the Flyers called up, they called up Carter Hart too. Like their prize goalie prospect.
He's the only one left. They've used like 18 goalies this year.
And I think it's so funny too. Like the team is in shambles. They've called up him, like the cart, which people are excited about, whatever. The teams, they actually, like, their stats aren't terrible, but it's just like everything else is kind of crumbling around. And then there's Gritty, like everybody in the world from, like, Gritty is an international star, and the Flyers are literally crumbling. And while this thing is the, like, the talk of,
yeah,
the sports world. I think it's just beautiful.
They've done
it's
a great job of like getting him out to other places, and yeah, it's awesome. And I've said it before, Broad Street Hockey is a great blog, and their podcasts are all awesome. And they would not disagree with anything you just said, that the team is falling apart, that they're kind of a shit show in a lot of different ways. You know, people talking out of turn and making things happen. That the firing of Dave Hextall was gut-wrenching. I mean, even for me, like, I don't even care, but like watching him twist in the wind, 1 minute they're like, no, he's not being fired, and he's like, I'm gonna make my lineup presentation tomorrow morning, and then it's like, oh, Haxtell's not here at practice. Oh, he's been fired. Is it Quenneville? No, it's Scott Gordon. It was excruciating. But yeah, that's the way the Flyers are right now. And honestly, it kind of feels like it's supposed to be that way. They're always crazy. you like to see that crazy from the Flyers because that's what they do. It's worked so well for them since 1976 or 75, whatever it was. So yeah, we'll see how that continues. What was the other thing I was going to say?
I'm sure the Penguins have made a trade of third liners or something. They seem to do that every other week.
Yeah. Right. The Sound Tigers, breaking news, the Sound Tigers lost in overtime 4-3 to the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. Game winner in overtime, one Kevin Churchman. So there you go.
Wow.
How about that?
Jesus.
Yeah. there's a name we haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah.
But
I'm color me shocked that that guy is a career AHLer.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They blew the lead. They had a 3-1 lead with 8 minutes to go and then blew it. So. Great game there. But no, they're still picking up points, so that's still pretty good. But yeah, so that's it. Like I said, we'll be off next week. We're going to enjoy the holiday break, and we hope you do as well. That's what I wanted to say. Now I remember. I keep forgetting our moment of trots, and I have a good one here. It's from the game against the Avalanche. And like we said before, Johnny Boychuk was laying out and blocking shots and making life rough for the Avalanche in the Islander zone. And afterwards, Shannon Hogan asked Barry about, Boychuk's game and what he had a wry smile on his face. And what Trotz said was, there are two kinds of players for me, hockey players and businessmen. Johnny was a hockey player on that play. And wow. I'll give you one guess who he probably thinks a businessman is. And another Johnny, I guess. But yeah, so there you go. Your moment of Trotz, hockey players and businessmen.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. He's the best. He really is the best.
I would say that, I mean, is it fair to say that right now Barry Trotz is the face of the Islanders, the face of the franchise?
I think so. I mean, I would say most people maybe outside the Islanders would say, oh, it's Matt Barzal or whatever. But I think to Islander fans, it's if you ask every Islander fan at Nassau Coliseum on Saturday night who the face of the franchise is, the majority would say Barry Trotz.
I think they would. I really do. But that's what I was saying before too. If you're an outside observer and you don't know, oh yeah, obviously Matt Barzal or maybe Anders Lee, if they even know who Anders Lee is. But no, the face of this franchise right now, I think, is Barry Trotz because this team is taking on.
Yeah, what a face it is.
that bald necklace face.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, he's got a. I was saying this to my friends the other day. I'm like, he's got a look that he pulls off. Mm. He's got a funny, handsome way about
him. A clip-on head. That's what Keith Quinn called the clip-on head. That was when he was coaching Nashville, I think. Keith called it the clip-on head, and that's stayed with me forever. But, yeah, so there you go. Yeah, no, it works for him. I can't imagine him any other way. If you ever see, the old hockey card pictures of him with hair, doesn't look right. Definitely looks definitely weird. If you are going to a game when the Islanders come back and you're in the spirit of things, you should check out sneakyathletic.com. You get 10% off if you put it anxiety in the discount code box at checkout. They got all kinds of cool Fort Never Lose stuff there. You should check it out. Again, you could save yourself 10% by using anxiety in the discount code box. That is sneakyathletic.com. They got cool stuff there. Tell everybody your Twitter account again, please.
It's the Big Lebowski with two E's.
You should follow Mike at the Big Lebowski on Twitter, and you can see he will deem the player of the game, the Boychuk game, Barzal game, that kind of thing. You should read Lighthouse Hockey every single day for your most up to date Islanders news and discussion. You should leave us a 5-star review at iTunes. If you got days off, man, do me a favor, leave us a 5-star review at iTunes. Just log in. I know everybody hates iTunes. I'm like 10 updates behind on my iTunes. Just log in and give us a 5-star review. It's pretty cool. Anything else? Did I forget anything? Anything you want to say? I don't know.
No, I'm good.
Yeah.
I just one thing. I saw Sidney Crosby. This is just a reminder that we do live in an echo chamber. I scored a Sidney. So I was watching. I have the game on in the background. And Sidney Crosby scored a goal where he batted the puck out of midair. And I was like, that's nice to see that he does that to other teams and not just the Islanders. Because I've seen him score that exact goal 700 times against the Islanders.
Feels like it.
And he just did it against the Capitals. So.
Yeah. They are up 2-1 right now.
That's it.
So come on, Caps. You got to come back and win that game. But you know what? If they don't, then the Islanders would have to say, well, we got to go to work tomorrow in Vegas and just make it happen, because that's the way things are now, which is kind of weird to think. Hopefully I haven't just jinxed them. But
we're in a race with the Penguins, and that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, sure. And it's Christmas time, and we're there. And again, who would have thought we would have been there? So thank you very much for listening to us. From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year. We'll be back on the other side. Thanks again for listening. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you. We can't thank you enough. And we will talk to you again shortly in 2019. How about that? Weird. Okay.
How about that?
I go at least 3 weeks before I stop writing 2018. You know, but I get the year right. Thank God I don't write checks anymore, because it was really irritating to have to keep scratching stuff out. But we will see you in 2019. Thank you very much. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
For your silly toys, Father Christmas, please hand it over. We'll beat you up, so don't make